Hi everyone, welcome to the weekly question and answer session for members of the Personal Paleo Launchpad. I'm Laura Schoenfeld. I'm a registered dietitian with a master's degree in public health.
And I'm Kelsey Marksteiner, a registered dietitian with a master's in nutrition and functional medicine.
Thanks for joining us for this week's question and answer session. As usual, we'll be answering your questions from the private Q&A section of the forum. So if you have a question about your personal paleo code or about nutrition in general, let us know by submitting your question in the members-only area of the forum, and we'll do our best to answer it on the next show. Remember, this is just general advice and should not be used in place of medical advice from a licensed professional. Blah. So you ready to get started with our first question?
Sure, and this one's for you, Laura.
Okay.
Is it better or healthier to buy eggs from a local farmer who does not add corn or soy to the feed of his chickens due to living in cold climates and chickens not being able to be in pasture for more than 4 months out of the year? Or is it better to buy eggs from a pasture-raised farm from another state? So basically, local but corn-fed versus distant but 100% pasture-raised.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Kelsey, you said who does not add corn and soy, and the question was actually that they do add
Oh,
corn and
whoops.
soy. That's
Okay.
okay. Just want to clarify so people know what I'm answering here. So this is an interesting question, just because obviously with paleo, you want to prioritize food quality when you're choosing what to eat. But on the flip side of that, there is some level of local farm activism in this community as well, where supporting local farmers and trying to eat local food and eat food that's available to you in your climate is important as well. So I get why this person is in a debate here. As far as the healthiness question, I will say that just looking at that on its own, that the 100% pasture raised is going to be a better choice nutritionally. Whether or not that makes a big difference, I can't really say. I mean, there is some evidence that these pasture raised chickens have higher quality eggs than the ones that are fed grain. But, it's not like you're choosing between pasture raised and like battery hens that are, piled on top of each other in a dark cage. So the one person that definitely should not use the eggs that are given grains are people that have severe allergies or intolerances to corn or soy. Even though it's not always the case, some people that are seriously sensitive to those different proteins can actually be sensitive to the eggs that also contain those proteins. So, those people are definitely the ones that are going to have to be pretty careful about that kind of choice. As far as a normal, healthy person that doesn't have any corn or soy sensitivities, I think the 100% pasture raised is technically the better choice, but there's other factors that are going to play in there. So maybe the corn-fed one is $2 per dozen cheaper than the 100% pasture raised, or maybe this local farmer is also raising other products such as like vegetables or eggs, or I'm sorry, of course they have eggs, but or meat and that kind of stuff. And maybe, that's your shopping trip and it's just going to take another trip to get the other eggs. So, there's other factors that'll play into what the best choice for you is. But if you're purely going from a nutritional standpoint, then yes, the 100% pasture raised is technically the better choice. But again, the people that are doing their best to pasture raise the animals based on the weather and the climate and everything, and are adding some grain to the feed, it's not the end of the world. It's not going to kill you. And certainly, if you're not sensitive to these two grains, then it really shouldn't be a problem at all.
Yeah,
So.
and maybe like worst or best case scenario, you can buy the eggs from them for the 4 months out of the year that they are being raised on pasture. I'm sure they're probably still getting some corn or soy during that time of year. That's just usually how it goes. But you might want to ask, if they are doing that. And then if you really want the 100% pasture raised, depending on whether or not that they actually are, you could buy from him or again go for the out of state one. But I have to say, if it were me and if there was something close by that they were getting a little corn and soy, and at least, for me, I'm not particularly sensitive to either of those, especially if it's coming, you know, there's this kind of a step between me and the grain itself anyway. You know, I'd probably buy it close by just because it's a little bit easier. You're supporting local farmers who are doing their best. You know, the climate can be rough, definitely, for doing that kind of work. And so, I mean, that's just my personal feeling. But yeah, definitely 100% pasture raised is going to be the winner nutritionally. But I think there are definitely a lot of other considerations to take into account.
Well, and I think that's a good point, too, about how most egg chickens are actually going to be fed some type of grain anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like a cow where a cow actually is supposed to only eat grass. Chickens, and don't quote me on this because I'm not a chicken expert, but I do know that chickens do not just eat grass. They typically eat a lot of bugs. Mm-hmm. They do eat grains, and I think that they can do fine eating grain and seeds and that kind of thing. So a pasture-raised chicken is not the same thing as a pasture-raised cow. Because the cow, you know, if the cow's getting fed grains, that's not something that they typically would eat, and it can drastically affect their mm-hmm. gut bacteria and cause, you know, changes in their health and fatty liver and all that stuff. But the chickens are going to be able to handle that food better because chickens are omnivores. So, you know, it's like Kelsey said, it's probably not the end of the world if it's a chicken that had grains, and most chickens are going to have some type of grain in their diet, whether that be, you know, organic corn or, you know, the soy. Even if it's organic, it's going to be better than the GMO soy. And it's one of those things that I would try not to freak out too much about. And it's, I don't know, I think eggs generally, like you said, there's a step in between eating the grain versus eating the egg, which came from a chicken that ate the grain. So I wouldn't take it too seriously unless you're dealing with a severe corn and soy allergy.
Right.
Or if perhaps you're not tolerating eggs well and you want to find out if it's because they're getting the significant amount of grain. So it's one of those things that the nutritional quality shouldn't just be the only factor in your decision.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the biggest thing, you know, to take away from this is really just to not freak out, which sounds kind of silly, but a lot of people do get really, really tripped up on these little kinds of questions. And like Laura said, as long as, you know, you're not really trying to determine if a chicken eating corn or soy is causing you to have problems, you know, if you just tend to do well with even any kind of eggs and you just want to kind of get the best option for you, I really wouldn't worry too much about it if they're getting some corn and soy in their feed.
Cool. Well, hopefully that helps this person make a decision. Like we said, it's definitely important to just, you know, not be too concerned with this kind of thing. You're already doing better than most people are by buying the most or somewhat pastured chicken. So if you can find one that's local, that's 100% pasture raised, then that's great. But again, try not to worry too much about the fact that the chicken's getting some grain added to its feed, because it's not necessarily the end of the world if you
right.
eat chicken or eggs that came from that kind of chicken. So, all right. So shall we move on to question two?
Indeed.
All right. So this is yours, Kelsey. I have been eating paleo and no gluten for 3 months and doing very well. But recently I had to go on antibiotics for a sinus infection. And despite taking daily probiotics, eating yogurt, I got a yeast infection. I'm now using the usual remedy, but is there a better way through food or supplements to avoid this or cure it?
All right. So thanks for this question. I think it's a really, really good one. One of the things to understand about this question is that when we take antibiotics, a common side effect of this is yeast overgrowth. And it's a really well-documented effect that's pretty much universal in people taking antibiotics. And so getting a yeast infection as a result of taking antibiotics is quite common as well. Now, a lot of people won't, or I guess I should say a lot of women won't, but you know, a good majority of them do tend to get yeast infections when they're on antibiotics. And that's just kind of the underlying reason why that tends to happen. Now, one of my favorite studies, I realize that's weird to say that you have a favorite study, but okay, is a study done, I think it was done sometime in like the 1970s, that showed that every single woman who had recurrent yeast infections also had yeast in their gut. So that means that if these women were, if they were simply, you know, spot treating only the vaginal area with, you know, creams or whatever kind of treatment they were using, they were missing that there was an overgrowth of yeast in their gut. And so the infections would come back over and over again. So it's pretty amazing that we've known that for so long. And really, I feel like nobody does anything with that information. So, you know, definitely keep that in mind that there's probably a yeast overgrowth in your gut. Of course, if you're taking antibiotics, again, that's kind of a well-documented side effect. And that especially if you tend to get recurrent yeast infections, that, you know, there's probably still yeast in your gut if that's the case. So first of all, the things you're doing already are all the right things. So anytime you're on antibiotics, you should absolutely be taking probiotics at the same time, because that will really help to keep, you know, the good guys present in your gut and help balance the flora a bit more. And as a side note, it also helps to prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea, which is, of course, another plus that you want to consider. You also might want to take prebiotics, something like FOS powder, to add to your regimen. And that just helps to also balance the gut flora a bit more by acting as food for only the good bacteria in your gut and not the bad bacteria. So those are definitely, you know, the first steps you want to be taking to prevent a yeast infection in general, or definitely, you know, if you're on antibiotics. But another thing that you can do is to take an antifungal herb along with your antibiotics. You know, something like oregano oil, or actually garlic works quite well too. And that combats the inevitable yeast overgrowth that does happen as a result of taking antibiotics. And of course, if you're preventing that yeast overgrowth from happening, you're also going to help prevent a yeast infection in the first place. If you're prone to getting yeast infections, especially when you take antibiotics, then I'd really recommend doing that when you have to take antibiotics, just to help you avoid it. Of course, you want to do that along with the probiotics and prebiotics as well, just to kind of give yourself as much ammo as you can against the yeast that's going to crop up, because, you know, antibiotics will basically mess up the balance of the gut flora, and part of that is getting a yeast overgrowth. So all of that, of course, is on top of continuing a good paleo diet that works for you. You definitely, definitely want to keep that up during a course of antibiotics. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you how to treat this condition once it does occur. But as you can see, I really do think that there's a lot that you can do to prevent it from occurring. So just to review that, you want to take probiotics and prebiotics during your antibiotic course. And that basically helps to prevent, you know, as much of an imbalance that occurs as a result of taking antibiotics. You know, we want to prevent as much as we can that from happening. So I'd probably take, you know, if this is not something that you usually take, the probiotics and prebiotics, you probably want to take that definitely through the entire course of your antibiotics, but probably continue it for at least a few weeks after, you know, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, I would say. Then, of course, you can go off of it, or probably if you're someone who gets recurrent yeast infections, I'd consider at least staying on the prebiotics, if not both prebiotics and probiotics, either in food form or supplement form. And then the antifungals, you know, you could do something like, if you wanted to keep it really food-based, you could just do garlic cloves, you know, maybe 2 or 3 garlic cloves a day. And what you can do with those, you just want to crush it up because before you take it, because that actually, that activates the antifungal part of the garlic. So you don't just want to like eat, you know, I mean, I guess you could chew it in your mouth, but that's actually going to be a really unpleasant situation.
I don't know about that.
That's going to burn. So you want to chop it up, or, you know, crush it before you take it, and basically just take it with a full glass of water. So, you know, put it on a spoon, take it with a full glass of water to just get it down to your gut as quickly as possible, because again, it does kind of burn a little bit. So you want to make sure you're either eating something with it or taking it with a lot of water to get it down there pretty quick. And that I would really, either that, you know, taking garlic or taking oregano oil, some kind of supplement that's antifungal, you want to basically do that during the course of your antibiotics. You really don't need to continue doing that afterwards, you know, more than maybe a couple days afterwards. So don't stay on oregano oil forever or anything like that. That can actually kind of mess up your gut balance even further if you stay on something for far too long. So think of it as kind of a supplement to your antibiotic to help prevent that yeast overgrowth in the first place. So don't take it forever. You want to take it basically for the course of your antibiotics. And there you go. So hopefully that helps.
Well, and I think it's a good tip to try to add some type of antifungal to the protocol, just because I know when I was on antibiotics for Lyme disease, I was on like 5 different antibiotics at a time for like, I don't know, 6 to 8 months or something. So, I mean, that was pretty serious.
Right.
And I actually didn't really have that much gut or yeast issues, which is pretty common, like you said, with people, especially in that situation where they're taking a ton for a while. My doctor did prescribe me a prescription antifungal that I took at the same time, which I think made a big difference. But you know, if that's not something that your doctor did, or it's not something that they think is necessary, then the natural antifungals can be similarly effective. So, you know, it's something that is pretty common, and unfortunately it can linger after the probiotics are done, or I'm sorry, the antibiotics are done, just because if you've kind of messed up your gut balance and allowed some level of yeast overgrowth to happen, it's a little bit difficult to get rid of it. So, like Kelsey was saying, if you are taking the antifungal supplement at the same time, it can kind of help prevent that from happening.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny
easier to prevent it than cure it.
Right. Exactly. And I think it's kind of funny that you mentioned that your doctor gave you an antifungal prescription, because I think that's really, really smart. And I believe I read somewhere that that was kind of how they used to do it, you know, where if they prescribed an antibiotic, they would also prescribe you an antifungal. And that sort of fell out of fashion for some reason. But I mean, to me, it just makes sense, because it's so well documented that yeast overgrowth is pretty much universal, even if people don't get any symptoms from it. But it definitely happens when you take any kind of antibiotic. So, you know, helping to prevent that, I think, is just common sense, right?
Yeah, and the same thing with probiotics. It's like, I don't know why most doctors don't recommend taking probiotics afterwards either, just because, I mean, I really think that was one of the main reasons why I didn't get the same GI effects that most people would get on that kind of antibiotic routine. And I mean, to be honest, I don't know if I had, I mean, I'm pretty positive that I had to have had some level of impact from that high amount of.
But the fact that, you didn't get symptoms from it, that's a big deal.
Yeah, so I think, you know, definitely some of that prophylactic treatment, which prophylactic means treating before it happens, basically, is really important, because, again, like I said, it's so much easier to prevent these things from occurring as opposed to trying to cure it after it's kind of gotten to the point where you're getting, you know, the symptoms of it.
Yeah, definitely. And like you sort of mentioned, you know, you can get imbalance in the gut from taking antibiotics that can take a while to go away. So if you're someone who has developed recurring yeast infections, that's also something to consider, that, you know, your gut balance of the, you know, the balance of the flora in your gut is absolutely involved in that. And you might want to consider doing, you know, either some herbal or supplemental antifungal treatment, or even potentially talking to your doctor about doing a prescription. So you definitely want to consider that if, you know, you've had some issues regarding yeast infections, especially if it was, if it all kind of started after an antibiotic treatment where you got, you know, a first yeast infection, and then that sort of kept cropping up over and over again.
Yeah. And that's, I think this is something to really be taking seriously as far as getting it under control, because I mean, the typical female yeast infection, yeah, it's annoying and it's gross and it's uncomfortable and that kind of thing. But I'd be more concerned that if it's happening recurrently, that it's something that has become a gut infection.
Right.
And that can become a systemic infection. So, you know, even though the typical yeast infection treatment is just like, oh, go get one of the Monistat boxes or whatever, and then that takes care of it. If it keeps coming back, it's definitely important to address the intestinal microbial balance, because, you know, there's a reason you're still getting it, and it's not just because, oh, I went on antibiotics and it just kind of overgrew
right.
for a couple days and then it went away. If it's still going on, you definitely need to take care of it, because you don't want it to become systemic.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully that helps to answer this question. I think it's a really good question. And of course, unfortunately, we can't really tell you how to treat it naturally. But, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of articles about that online. But definitely preventative measures are your best bet. Because if it already happens, you know, it definitely could happen again. It's especially if you're kind of, like I said, just treating the area and not treating the gut itself, it's kind of bound to come back for a lot of women. So definitely keep that in mind. You want to be preventative as much as possible, but of course, if it does happen, you know, you just deal with it and do your best next time.
Right. Cool. Well, hopefully both of these question askers got a lot out of this. And if you want to submit a question, you can do so in the private section of the forum called Q&A. And Kelsey and I will do our best to answer on the next show. And we hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you around next time.
All right. Take care, Laura.
You too, Kelsey.